Come get on the train.
Wait a minute.
Hit it.
Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast. Yo, what's going on out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? Welcome on in back again once again after a two-week hiatus to the Sports Buffoon Studios here at Lenexa, Kansas, of course. We are back with the full clan, Jason GG to my left and Tanner Dawson to my right. So what's going on, fellas?
What's up? What's up?
Does anyone have any apologies after last week?
No.
No apologies anyway? No, nobody?
I had a phenomenal show prepared for last week, and then things happened which may or may not have been legal, which caused us to not do a show. But I had a fabulous show planned, and so, that's all right. We'll get it popping here in a second, so we'll see what happens.
There might have been an incident that went down last week that prevented us from doing a show. But we're not going to get into details here. We don't want to throw anyone under the bus. But
I'll put it this way. The cops didn't make it there in time, so that was good for us.
Oh, my.
I don't know that the cops would have showed up.
I don't know if we're... That's
well, the fire department probably would have.
You're taking that pretty far. Ooh,
at least a security guard would have showed up, but he wasn't going to get there in time, so that's all right. Oh, guys. Will, the great news is we are here. Of course, we're back. We didn't just jump off a cliff like sometimes we probably should think about doing. But the great thing is about this day here before us is that this was loaded with Chiefs news. So, which means, you know, here we have the Super Bowl, we had the celebration, we accidentally skipped a week, and now it's like we're back and we can talk Chiefs again for a little while. So that's what we're doing here with you guys today, talking Chiefs. A couple guys in the NFL Combine I want to point out and bring up here in a little while as well. And then I know JG's got a hot topic that he wants to go over here before the end as well. So, guys, kicking it off strong, man. The best news of the day this morning was Mr. Marquez Valdes-Scantling cut from the roster.
Gone!
And I love it because, you know, Twitter today was everyone's reminiscing about how Marquez played so great in the playoffs last year and then, you know, had a couple nice plays this year in the playoffs, even though he's never done anything worthy of anything during regular season play or been living up to his contract, especially during his time here. At the end of the day, guys, we're lucky that he played as well as he did last year in the playoffs and then this year as well, because it could have been real ugly if some of that regular season Marquez showed up at some point in the postseason. So, but, yeah, Marquez off the roster. Do you guys think, you know, other than him now, we got – a couple other receivers that are on the edge here, potentially. You see anybody else in this receiving group going anywhere? I mean, we got a Kadarius Toney, we got a Sky Moore, both under contract still. Any chance maybe they follow him out?
Doubtful. Well, Toney maybe, but pretty doubtful on Sky Moore, even though I think the hope is there that we can see him depart from the team. But I don't have high hopes on it.
I got to be honest with you. If I could keep one and get, you know, out of the three, I would have kept MVS. If we just taken the contracts and all the situations off the table, and you want to pick one of those guys and you're going to cut the other two, I would have easily cut Sky Moore and cut Kadarius Toney. I would have kept MVS.
I would have kept Toney.
Because he had value, you know, at least in the playoffs. And I know he wasn't very dependable in the regular season, but I still liked him better than those other two guys. So
yeah, but the contract is the thing that was an issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the Chiefs are saving $12 million against the cap here this offseason. That can be used towards a, you know, veteran presence that can be worthy of, you know, playing better, you know, more than two games worth of crap throughout the year, you know?
See, yeah, so, and I would have kept Toney and Moore just for the contract situation that they're in. MVS, you know, he turned it on at the right time, but it was in a way too late in the season to showcase that he can catch a ball. And Kadarius Toney, we know what he is like outside of what this season was, and there is still hope in a way for him, but he's also on a really cheap deal.
The main problem with Toney in a lot of ways is that he's kind of a waste of time because he's always injured. You know, if you're a coach and you're investing your time and energy into getting guys, you know, into a game plan or getting guys ready to understand the concepts within the scheme of the offense, and you're putting a lot of energy into that kind of player, that's time taken away from other guys
that
need that.
There's also an attitude problem with him right now, too.
Of course, there's that. And he's in the doghouse, man. He didn't even play in the Super Bowl. So
no, he didn't.
I think that there's a good chance that Tony does get cut at some point in this offseason. Sky Moore's a guy, I know, Tanner, you know how I feel about it, but why would you say you'd rather cut Sky Moore over Tony?
I feel like first he got hurt, of course, at the end there. And then just the ineffectiveness he had last year and the ineffectiveness he had the year before. And there was high hopes for him going in the season this last year, and it just wasn't there. The route running wasn't crisp as we saw in training camp. Mike and I, you know, we went there. The expectations just haven't been met for the pick that he was and the players that were picked around him. It just hasn't been met. And so I'd be okay moving on, freeing up some, you know, cap space and trying a different pick.
Hey, I bet we could see Nico Remigio end up being a better player than Sky Moore. Similar style of play, but Nico seemed to be a little bit more of a pure football player in the NFL. At least we'll see. We're talking about a guy who never has stepped on the field, really, other than what we've seen in training camp and preseason. So,
bottom line is, all three of these guys were a bunch of bums. And if I've got Rashi Rice, and if I bring in Mike Evans, and I draft another receiver, and I've got maybe Mecole Hardman as my number four, I'm okay with that. I'd rather keep Hardman than all these other bums that we're talking about.
If you do that, you could keep Justin Watson even for another year as your WR5.
Absolutely.
And I'm fine with that. You know, who cares at that point? It doesn't matter. Because if you got the veteran next to Rashi, along with a rookie with great athletic ability in the upcoming, you know, time, that's the whole game plan to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying we need Mike Evans necessarily, but some kind of receiver, veteran presence that can come in and take some pressure off of Rice. And then an athletic, deep speed receiver, I think, would fit great with the Chiefs in the draft. So
very, we'll very simple game, boys. Just get all of the bums off your team and then bring in more talented players. It's a very simple game. Like, we try to go back and forth and try to nitpick and all this. It really, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Just get all of the bums off of the damn team.
It's addition by subtraction. You know what I mean? So, all right, guys, before the next thing, we gotta dive in. I know I'm a little rusty from taking a week off. So what are y'all sipping on?
Ooh, what do we got here, Tanner? We got the On the Rocks premium cocktail. Probably from Kentucky. We're doing a Manhattan today, boys.
Let me see this bottle here. I've seen this in stores before.
Those are really good. The premixed stuff.
A Basil Hayden. That makes sense.
I've had the margarita, and I've had the old fashioned, I believe, is from them as well. And it's been good. It's actually been really good for a pre-made cocktail.
Yeah, the only thing it's missing is the cherry juice. If you just put some cherry juice in there and a maraschino cherry, it's perfect. It's a perfect Manhattan.
Yeah, produced in Frankfort, Kentucky. So, yeah, but that's Basil Hayden is the whiskey that's used in there, which is good stuff. So,
and by the way, I do have my playbook today, boys. I'm going full on Russell Wilson today because I know that boy just came out and said he's about to win two more freaking Super Bowls. So that's why I'm sporting I'm sporting the playbook,
two,
boys.
2 in 5 years.
What was it? The converted signing bonus or salary to a signing bonus or something like that?
Oh,
what
hell, Tanner. I don't know. The Broncos they don't want anything to do with him. He's like, let's make it work here.
They just like put something like, I think they converted his salary this year to a signing bonus or something.
I'm trying to say whatever he's smoking on right now, I want some. Because if that guy thinks he's going to win two more Super Bowls on the downside of his career, I want some of whatever that guy's smoking.
He's a corny ass.
Because he is high as a kite, baby. I want some of that smoke.
Been in Denver long enough, man. There's lots of good edibles out there, too.
They're about on the same edibles level as the rest of the mainstream media, thinking Justin Jefferson's going to get traded. So
I don't know where that's coming from. We'll save that for a different day, but it's stupid stuff. It's online social media crap is all it is. Guys, next thing I want to talk about here on the list, we got Lajarius Sneed. We found out shortly after MVS's cut, Lajarius Sneed is likely to be franchise tagged. He will be franchise tagged, it sounds like.
It actually didn't sound like it was official.
It's not official yet, very likely it'll be franchise tagged. I think what's going on there with Lajarius Sneed is that the Chiefs want to have a long-term contract with him. Mm-hmm. I think the numbers are not matching up with what Sneed's value is being put out there. And so he's able to talk to other teams right now. He's been given permission to talk to other teams, see if there's a great deal he can have in place. And at that point, if they can agree to a deal with another team, that's where the trade scenario comes in. That's where the Chiefs are going to want some picks.
It's like the Tyreek Hill situation.
Very similar. Very similar, other than the only reason Tyreek Hill ended up leaving was because Devontae Adams kind of undercut him with a huge contract, and then Tyreek goes, oh, wait a minute. No, I want to be the highest paid.
Yeah.
So,
no, yeah.
And Legarius Sneed, whatever he gets paid is going to be deservedly so. He's had a great career so far in Kansas City.
Fabulous.
I want to keep him here. I think Sneed is a huge part of this defense, and having two lockdown corners, you guys, is half the reason why the Chiefs are number two in sacks. I mean, it's not like George Karlaftis has the best first step in the world. George Karlaftis is one of those guys that's going to be high effort every single play. And if you give him an extra split second, he can get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we're running out there with, you know, in his prime Von Miller, where, you know, he only needs 1.5 seconds to get to the quarterback. George is one of those guys that will get there, but it's because of the back end doing all the work, locking down the receivers. And so I want to maintain that. I would love to keep that going right now with the secondary. And I don't know without Legarius Sneed if that's going to be something we can continue to do. As great as Trent McDuffie is, Sneed brings a certain physicality in the run game, and he could blitz great well, you know, in the nickel and stuff like that. So, and he gave up no touchdowns this year, man. I think Sneed is awesome.
I think it's a similar situation, not in fact of the player style, the way that Sneed is and the he contributes, but we were in this position 3 years ago with Chardarius Ward before he left.
Yes, but Ward is not the same style as players.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. It's not Sneed, but it's still a similar deal where you move on and you don't pay your star quarter.
Look, I think we all were okay with Ward leaving.
Yeah.
No, like, we all were just like, okay, we'll figure it out.
And
we
did. But he was good while he was here.
Sneed is one of my favorite corners we've ever had in the team history, really, to this point. I just think he brings everything you want in a corner. Physicality. I mean, the guy's locked down. He's, you know, I love his run defense. Obviously, the blitzing. I mean, the versatility is huge. I mean, this is a guy that later in his career could move to safety and be elite as a safety if he wants to. He had time playing safety at Louisiana Tech. And I think that it's going to be one of those things it's going to suck to see end if this is the end, if a trade does go down. Because I think at the end of the day, this comes down to Chris Jones, because the Chiefs are not using the tag on Chris Jones, which means either get a deal done or Chris Jones is just free to go.
Yes.
Which is scary, because I'd rather get something out of Chris Jones if he's going to leave this team. I would have always done it the other way around. I would have actually preferred to keep Legarius Sneed here longer on an extension and tag Chris Jones and then look for a trade at that point. And we're almost doing it reverse, which I just personally don't agree with. But
is it because of the depth that's out there in the secondary that we have? Like,
absolutely,
so comfortable with having Jalen Watson as your three. You know, even Joshua Williams.
Joshua Williams is
an improvement year. Improved.
Yeah, and Watson's proven. He proved his rookie year, man, to be a really good corner. Jalen Watson was awesome, and I love Jalen Watson. I think he's a great corner. I just don't want to see this team. I think what we have going in the secondary is too good to let go.
It doesn't mean that we don't go out and draft somebody with the same kind of attitude. It's just we have a guy with the attitude that we need and knows the defense and knows how to take care of these guys.
The fear is, though, if you just let Chris Jones go or tag and trade, you have nothing interior.
Yeah.
Because the D-tackles after Chris Jones in this team, they're nothing to write home about. I mean, we got our veteran, Derek Nottie, but he's not going to push anything in the pocket.
He doesn't push. He's not a pitch guy. He's a run guy. He's a run guy.
None of that stuff's going to work out. So I think the fear is what's making the Chiefs choose to tag and potentially trade Sneed over tagging and trading Chris Jones. So.
And I'm Winnahoo being out, too.
Yeah, which with the ACL, I mean, he might not be fully back until, you know, week 4 or 5 in the regular season.
If that, man. We could be seeing closer to week 10.
So right. I agree with you, Mike. I totally would have tagged Chris Jones instead of Sneed. But now that we're here, what's the price? Because I'm with you. I want to keep Sneed on this team at all costs. But what's the price? We all know each player has a price. So in terms of picks, what are we trying to get for Sneed if we do the tag and trade?
Just to say first, so I think the franchise tag number for cornerbacks this year is around $18 million,
yeah,
somewhere around that range, which is lower than defensive tackle, by the way. But as far as the price that it's going to require, I mean, Sneed just came off his best year of his career, allowed 0 touchdowns in coverage, was elite all year long in every single way you can imagine. I mean, what the hell what would you have given up for Darrell Revis in his prime?
Just short of 20, by the way, 19, 18.
19, okay. You know what I mean? Like, think about it that way. L'Jarius Sneed is going to be worth a lot to somebody. I mean, L'Jarius Sneed is, in a lot of ways, it can be looked at as like a modern day, you know, the role of Charles Tillman. I always look at him as that way because he was so versatile and flexible in the secondary, and kind of, you know, in a way of forcing fumbles, in a way of coverage ability and the run stopping. And I think that, and Tillman played great for a long time. And Sneed can do the same thing with his style of play. So I need a first-round pick, man.
You're looking at his market value right now being a four-year, 65 mil total deal, right? Average salary 16 per year. And, that's in the ranks of
if that's true,
Ramsey, Carlton right. Davis, Tre'Davious Ward, and Jamal Dean. This is from Spot Check.
I would have paid him. 4 years, 60 million.
So maybe that's what Brett Veach is thinking here. Maybe he thinks there's somebody out there that's going to overpay. You said a first-round pick. Maybe he thinks there's somebody out there just because Sneed is so good that it might give us more than a first-round pick.
I mean, yeah. If you look at some of the new defensive coaches out there, you have Atlanta out there that has A.J. Terrell on the other side. They could use, you know, if they're trying to beef up that defense to go with whatever they're going to draft. Who else? We got Harbaugh's an offensive guy. And then who else am I thinking of for defensive guys?
I think there's going to be a lot of coaches out there that
because there's are a lot of defensive coaches. Style. There's a lot of defensive coaches now.
Well, I just think there's going to be certain coaches out there that go and, you know, kind of beg to their staff to say, "I want this guy, make it happen."
The Bears.
Like, this is going to be our missing piece on the secondary. You know, I think that could be a thing that goes down. And look, if we get offered a first round pick out of the deal, then hell, we got to do it, I guess. But For the price you just said, you know, on Spot Track, their market value, 4 years, $65 million, 100%, I would have been all in for that.
Average 16 a year?
I'd have been all in.
You better hit on that freaking pick. That's all I can say. Like, they do the deal and you get a first rounder, you better hit on that freaking pick.
Well, at that point, you're going to have to probably, I mean, you could go cornerback with one of those picks, or you could go receiver with one of those picks either. So either one would be nice.
And just go the option, Kool-Aid McKinstry, dude. First round pick.
Heck yeah, we'll talk about him here in a little bit. Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama.
Yep.
All right, guys, a couple more Chiefs things. We have the Arrowhead renovation plans and renderings that have come out. So we had a long press conference today from Mark Donovan and owner Clark Hunt. And I don't know what you guys think about this. I'm sure Tanner, do we have images or are they just on our picture for those shots?
Oh, if you give me a minute, I'll pull it up.
Okay. Because there's a few different images that came out. It's interesting to me. If you guys, have you paid attention? Have you seen this yet, Jason? So I'm confused about what they're trying to do here. So they're showing how the parking lot would look without Kauffman Stadium, obviously. And they're going to put a field, basically, where Kauffman Stadium, a football field, where Kauffman Stadium was. And it looks like it's like a concert venue in some kind of way. And I'm confused about what the point of that is.
Yeah, because they got bridges on the outside.
Yeah, the bridge is like a walkway. So it's a walkway coming from I don't even know where, honestly. And then you can walk over the drive area instead of having to walk between cars because, you know, half the time you're playing Frogger whenever you have to park way in the back, you know, waiting for cars to stop so that we can walk past them or whatever. You know, I don't know. When I saw these pictures and I saw the idea behind it, half of my thing was like, what's the purpose of this? Why? Making the video boards bigger is needed. That's going to be something that I think is important and should have been done probably a long time ago. And also the upper concourse, you can walk all the way around now without having to go up and down the spirals to get to where you need to go. But if you saw the pictures, man, I don't know what to think of some of it. What was your initial reaction when you heard about the idea of it?
The thing that stood out to me the most was the bridge, and it looked like the bridge was going over I-70.
That's what I'm talking about. It looked like I-70, but
if it
to where to what?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you? You're gonna walk to Taco Bell?
I don't really want to know.
Take the bridge to Taco Bell.
So here's what they're gonna have to do. If they build a bridge over I-70, they're gonna have to bulldoze that shithole hotel that's been over there for I don't know how many decades. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to bulldoze everything over there.
Denny's, all that.
It's a complete shit wad on the other side of I-70. Yeah. And so they're going to have to do something over there to have a reason to build that bridge because otherwise it doesn't make sense. No. Do I want to walk across that bridge so I can get shot? in my penis?
Jesus.
Do I want to take a bullet? Do I want to take a bullet in my balls? Probably not. So you're going to have to bulldoze all that shit and make it something worthwhile.
So you, look at the picture here.
Here's the layout right now. You got the rideshare zone now. Kind of, I think that's turned around. So that's Kansas side, Missouri side's on this side, right? How you read it?
Honestly, I know where Coffin's supposed to be, but I'm kind of backwards right now on that picture. But
right, I know. That's the weird part. I'm pretty sure that's the hill up there, though.
I don't understand the point. So the new activation zone and then a VIP entry plus canopy, what is the point of it? So what is the point of that?
To cover everybody under the sun, apparently, on the upper deck while they're freezing their ass off even more.
So the field, so the new activation zone, what is the point of having a, you know, replica Chiefs field?
It's supposed to be like a, so Green Bay has it up in Lambeau. It's basically like a fun area for kids. It's a tailgate area, just different activities and such. So Green Bay has the same thing over there for that. It's, right, it's just extra activities for the fans.
And so people like us can just go out there and get drunk and toss the football
around. Dude, that's what you do in the parking lot. By anyways, that's what you already do.
Yeah, but now you can do it on a real field. You'll feel better about yourself if you have
run over some kids out there and bulldoze them.
You know.
What's your guys' thoughts here on the new end zone suites?
That's
They're talking about the basically being similar to what Vegas has in their DJ club area.
No, to me, that whole thing is stupid. I mean, you're actually removing quite a few seats from the stadium. I know we've already had, you know, during the original renovations, went from like 79,451 seats down to 76,000. This is going to move us probably closer down to like 72,000.
Here we go. It's a better view.
And I don't see the point in adding a end zone party suite. The end zone view is not even the best view anyway, but
that looks like it's less parking in a way, doesn't it? I don't feel like that extends all the way out to where parking is.
It could be less parking if you're putting a whole damn football field over
there. So Missouri sides, we call it Missouri sides. Like more parking on your right-hand side. Your left-hand side, well, it is more parking, but so the activation zone will, though, have cars around it and stuff. But, yeah, you got a pedestrian bridge, so they're putting out, I guess, more parking further out, closer to, looks like, the road area. And even paving that dirt area. Maybe that's what it is.
It's probably what they're doing. So, guys, now that we get the gist of what their plans are with this whole thing, so we've heard about the price point. So the Hunts are putting in $300 million of their own money into this. The other $800 million total. The other $500 million are going to be put towards the taxpayers on the 3% sales tax. So this is also combined in with the April 2nd vote of Kauffman Stadium. So this is a part of that April 2nd vote. So, I mean, if you say no to the Royals, that's also saying no to the Chiefs' plans as well.
Not necessarily. Right?
They're going to say
because
no.
You guys know the Royals are going to move at some point. Like it's just what it's
going
to be.
Well, they're going somewhere. It might not be Kansas City.
They're going to move to the Kansas side, and at that point, the taxpayers aren't going to care about an extra $500 million. They'll just put it to a vote again, and then they will approve the Chiefs deal after the Royals presumably move to the Kansas side. I don't see where the hell else they can go.
It's either going to be. If it's not downtown, it might be the Kansas side, but if that gets rejected, we may not have a baseball team in the area. I think the Royals are out no matter what at some point. So if they get rejected maybe two or three times in a deal, maybe it's downtown all three times, we may not have a team come 2028 or whatever it is.
I think it would get approved in Wyandotte County. I really do.
I think it would, too.
Because you look at it like basically our whole lives – how do they get all their revenue? It's from Johnson County.
Yeah.
Like, I know they've been in Missouri this whole time, but it's like the people come up from Johnson County that spend all the money.
Is it? But
so it's like if you're going to make Johnson County and probably happier if you put it in Wyandotte County versus where it is right now, they're still going to spend their money. So I guess.
But isn't that the whole point of being in Missouri? It's like a tax break compared to Kansas or something like that. It has to do something with the taxes. That Kansas versus Missouri.
Put it in Wyandotte County. I want to put it to a vote in Wyandotte County at least and see what happens. I don't want to see a failed vote on the Missouri side three times. Nobody wants to see that. It's a waste of freaking time.
Yeah, it's I don't know, man.
I think that plan eventually though that you just saw in Arrowhead, it is inevitable. It probably is, but see it right away.
So the Royals, idea is $1 billion brand new stadium and an entertainment district.
Yes.
Meanwhile, the Chiefs are just wanting to make a few renovations. It's $800 million, just a little bit less than what the Royals are about to do. And what's the point? But what's the point of all that? I mean, what's the point of adding a stupid field out there? And what's the point of
like, adding walkways? I told you this. Adding activities, getting make it easier for fans to get in, getting the money. Getting the like money.
There's got to be more you can do. There's got to be more you can do to.
Well, what would you do, Mike? I want to know this.
My idea, building up that area right there to make it actually worth the crap to want to hang out in. And I'm talking about, you know, because whenever you leave Arrowhead Stadium, you're not hanging out in Raytown. You're not hanging out in Independence. You're not jacking around out there.
So you're going straight back.
You're either going to P&L or you're going back to your damn home in Overland Park. You know, you're not jacking around. But if you can make that area right there somehow nice and taken care of and have restaurant options there,
you're talking about outside of the stadium area.
I would, yes. Yeah. As owner of Chiefs, I would actually invest in making that part of the town better in some way. I know you can't fix the people, man. It just is what it is. But I would try to make it a cooler place to be for pregame and postgame, as well as, you know, that parking lot. You're going to have a lot of space. I wouldn't put a field there. That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, have just a random ass football field out there that
you're
just going to run around in. Like, what's the point of that? I mean, the parking lot's used for that alone.
If you're talking about the ownership, if they can't even fix their own freaking locker room, what makes you think they can do something to that part of town? Because that's what I heard the locker room is, you know, like ownership doesn't really care, and you know the players don't really care much for the ownership. So
yeah, that's an interesting one. Another thing that came out today, of course, that Clark Hunt got an F minus on his grade based on the surveys put together by the team, which is crazy. I mean, what Clark has done as far as giving Andy all the power to run this thing has been awesome, and the choices he's made and firing Scott Pioli and all this other kind of stuff, that stuff's awesome. It sounds like there's a lot of false promises that have been put out there by Clark Hunt over the years. And I guess one of the most recent one was that even though they just upgraded the locker rooms 2 years ago, because supposedly they were going to upgrade them again, and then because the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl, it took too much time, and then we couldn't do it.
They didn't have enough time to get it done.
Well, maybe this is the payback. maybe this renovation that we're talking about, maybe that's the payback, and maybe Clark saw that he got an F-, and that's why this came out today.
It's interesting because if you saw, so obviously Andy Reid got an A+ on the survey, but
you saw who got number one, right?
Oh well,
Miami Dolphins.
Dolphins.
Ross. And it's because of the willingness to pay players. Tyreek Hill being gone, didn't want to pay him. Chris Jones sat out for what, two, three games, didn't want to pay him, and now you're trying to pay him in a way, but that still may not happen. It's just that kind of the willingness to pay. And I think Hunt's part of that, and that's why he as well, on top of the false promises, why he's not getting, you know, the love he should get.
I don't know, man. It's a weird one because I think us as fans, we appreciate Clark for everything he's done so far. But I think if you're internal there, you probably see that there's some upgrades that could be taken care of. Garrett Dieter, former Chief, was asked on Twitter about this, and he did say that a lot of it is very outdated. And so him just putting that out there, and keep in mind he hasn't been on this roster for over 2 years now, and so that's him coming from that point. But I think that's probably part of it is, you know, if you're an NFL player, you've been to all these other stadiums, you know, you go to play these other teams, you also talk amongst each other. A lot of these guys are buddies who play against each other every day, right? And you get to know, you know, what's your training staff look like, what's your training room look like, the nutritionist aspect. Mm-hmm. I saw the Chiefs had a D or an F on that. Stuff like that. Like, what are the Chiefs missing that other teams are getting that somehow we are just not putting any energy towards?
It's just the outdatedness of the stadium. It really is.
Well, it sounds like it's part staff and training and stadium.
Well,
it's
a little bit both. You probably don't have the capabilities inside the stadium to produce some of the stuff that maybe Vegas has or SoFi has going on. You know, I'm curious what Green Bay would be like. What their rank would be in their facilities.
So why don't we just bulldoze both stadiums to the ground and start over? That might be beneficial.
You'll never get an architecture like Arrowhead ever again because it's illegal to build new ones like that because of the steepness.
Mm.
So you will never have an Arrowhead architecture the way it is today again.
Yeah.
So you would have a more modern style. You would lose your loudness
get.
So that's the thing that I would hate
So we can't bulldoze it to the ground is what you're telling me.
part of the issue with the locker room, too, is that it's a small locker room to begin with, and so there's only so much you can do.
Right.
There's only so much remodeling you can do in there to fit 53 players. Well, more than 50, more like 60, of course. But, you know, what are you going to do about it?
Well, let's bring some masseuses in there and give them some happy endings. That'd probably make them feel
better.
That's
what they need to do. Build some extra rooms, these worthless rooms that they got in there. And you know,
even if you don't have the nicest locker room in the NFL, maybe you could give them some sucky or something like that.
Watson would be a good backup for the Chiefs coming up. I think that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
He's probably going to be a backup here. I know. Three or four years.
He can be a good backup.
Give him that sucky.
Win a ring with
that'll make up for the piece of shit locker room.
Yeah. What's going on in the chat, Tanner? Anything?
Let's see here. Starsky, first off, says, welcome back. Dave says the Bears also have the pick 9. We were talking about LeJarius Sneed.
Yeah,
I mentioned the Bears. So.
Well, if the Bears wanted to give us the 9th overall pick, I'm all in.
I mean, it'd be weird for a Super Bowl team, but I'm in. Dave says the complete corridor from Raytown to 40 Highway needs to be developed to attract fans to stay in the area after games.
Yeah, that's kind of my point. 40 Highway sucks. I mean, it's a dirty piece of crap out there.
I think I think it says HOQ was ahead of times when design complex.
Yeah. No. Whenever Arrowhead and Kaufman were both designed.
Okay. I got you.
Yeah. Whenever they were both designed, I mean, they were definitely ahead of their time in that aspect. And it's amazing the stability and the structure of, you know, people are the Royals have been using the excuse that the Kaufman's falling apart and all this kind of crap, and it's like they were built the exact same time.
It's not falling apart.
It's just
they're using it as an excuse for why we need to go downtown.
Ownership.
Yeah, just that kind of nonsense.
And they're not going downtown. I don't think it's going to happen, man. I really don't.
Well, dude, I'm excited for the vote. I'm excited to follow it that day.
Oh, it's going somewhere.
I wish it was on April 1st. That way it'd be April Fool's.
We know that.
April Fool's joke.
It's going to Montreal or it's going to KCK.
Hey, Montreal.
It's one of those two places.
I think Salt Lake's still in the books, too, for it.
Canada's not going to take care of it.
Dude, don't talk about Salt Lake.
I'm telling you.
Nobody cares about that shit.
When Salt Lake gets a team here in the next 10 years, don't say I didn't tell you.
All right, one more thing, guys, real quick, just for fun. Chiefsaholic today. That's right. More Chiefs news, man. Pleads guilty to his robbery charges. I didn't go through all the details of it, but apparently there was 11 robberies in 7 different states, and he's pled guilty, so he could get up to 50 years in prison for his crimes.
Unreal.
I guess there was also more details about what happened during his interaction in Tulsa about, you know, him telling one of the bank tellers something, if you do this, then I'll put a bullet in your head. So there's more to it than just fun and games, you know. There's a lot of other things that came out that make this worse than it already is. But he also was to give back the painting. We all seen the painting of him.
Yeah.
With the Mahomes autograph that he won at a charity auction.
Yes.
And so he's got to return that as well as other memorabilia as well. I do think he gets to keep the money he won from betting on Mahomes to win MVP and the Chiefs win the Super Bowl last year. So, but otherwise, he's got to pay back over $500,000. I can't remember the.
He might get to keep it, but it's not. It's not sticking around.
They said he had made somehow over $800,000 throughout his robberies, which just seems kind of low. I thought it'd be a little more than that, actually.
He's hitting the small banks, man.
But I have a feeling there was some money hiding that people still haven't uncovered throughout time. But, anyways, man, 11 robberies guaranteed in 7 states that have been proven. So. Any final words before Chiefsaholic is gone for good?
Nah, dude, I think you need to get him some mental help and let him go free, man. I think he needs to go to a mental hospital.
You hear his lawyer today as well talking?
Let him go free, man. We let a lot of people go free in society. I don't know if you guys follow the news or not, but we let a lot of people walk, and nobody really pays attention to it. But I think if we can fix his mental health and see what's going on in that, and that dome piece
There's not fixing that, dude.
You can fix it, dude.
You want to know what it is?
You can fix the dome piece and then let him run free. You're free, just like Donnie Azoff in the Wolf of Wall Street.
Grew up in a fatherless home is what happened. And that's what happens whenever, you know, a kid doesn't have proper
parents.
Ooh,
I did not know
so
that part.
Growing up in a fatherless home, you become a little hoodlum
But you can't use that, though, because that so did LeBron James. Are we looking at him?
That explains a lot about LeBron James, actually.
But he's not a failure.
That makes sense. That's why Tanner likes him so much.
He's doing okay in life, the last time I checked. So, I mean, I know where you're going with that. Like, you're talking about the overall statistics, and I would agree with you on that.
Dave says Jesse James would be proud.
He would be. This is the modern-day Chiefs Jesse James, I guess. But, you know, I guess at least no one got killed like Jesse James did. Done.
I just feel like nobody cares about mental health issues in this country. Like, we talk about it. We pretend that we care about it. But then nobody helps anybody. So I feel like this guy has a screw loose.
He does.
And he probably needs to go to the mental institute.
He's also delusional.
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
Didn't he get let out for like a family thing and still robbed another bank?
Yes. So while he was out on parole, he robbed another bank.
sounds like a second chance to me.
Yeah, I think it's quite a story, man. You guys know as my buddies that I was the OG to find out about the whole thing.
You were, and, you leaked it out.
I spilled the beans and boom, it was everywhere real quick. And I told the guy.
And everybody was freaking out. Everybody
I told
like,
the guy that I told on Twitter that I did not want my name to be known about this. And he even asked me a week or two later, he's being interviewed by I guess they're making a show, or not a show, but like some kind of documentary about it.
Oh, yeah.
And he was being interviewed and he was asking about if I wanted to be part of it at all, and I said no. So I just left it alone. But I was like, hey, I did my little investigative work, and that's just what I do sometimes.
You should have promoted the podcast, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be like, hey, I know that Chiefsaholic guy. I know his real name. I know what jelly's in. I know what happened. And follow the Sports Buffoons.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that you didn't put your name out there because, you know, then that's when you get all the haters and losers that want to try to tear you down at some point. So I'm glad you didn't put your name out
truthfully, there. Truthfully, my first thought was, if this guy is psychopath enough to do what I knew at the time he had just done, I didn't know what kind of family he had or anything about him as far as that goes yet. So I was like, I don't really want to have my name attached to it. This seems like something where if I'm the guy that spills the beans, I don't want any part of
the spilling the beans, aka you found out just where he was and let him
know.
I hope he doesn't kill himself in jail. That's what I'm saying. I hope he doesn't kill himself.
All right.
He's not going to be able to watch Chiefs games anymore.
We could have had a chance to help this guy in his mental problems.
You got like 10 minutes, dude.
True that, guys. All right. Enough of the Chiefs talk, guys. Real quick rundown. I do have three guys up for the NFL Combine that starts tomorrow evening. It used to start early in the day. Now they pushed it back to the afternoon. So coming up this week, just a few guys, because it's fun to watch guys run in underwear. I've always felt that way every single year around this time. Something in the air
Chris
just
Jones.
Gets me tingling and wants me to wake up early and have a good old time watching some dudes run fast.
As long as they're not wearing MLB official pants in their underwear, we're good.
Wait a second. Wasn't Chris Jones the guy that had his cock fall out
during
the combine?
That's what Tanner's referring to.
And I don't know if you've seen the MLB uniforms this
Nobody
this
year. Cares. We do not care, Tanner.
Oh, okay. Well,
just cool it.
I'll show you some pictures afterwards, I guess.
Yeah, you guys can do your see-through tights thing.
Shit.
Unless their cocks are falling
That's
out.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, okay. Never mind. I changed my answer. Yeah, we do want to see some of that.
I do have a fun one. So a couple of receivers I want to point out and bring up real quick. Wide receiver for Michigan, Roman Wilson, in high school ran a 4.37 in high school. So if you did that in high school, I feel like, you know, you're still, you know, athletically improving as time goes on at this point. You're 22 years old now. What can he run at this point now at the combine? If you ran a 4.37 in high school, I would hope you can run a 4.3 flat at this point in your life. At least that should be the goal for the combine. If you do that, man, that's big news. If you run a 4.3 flat, you're probably going to end up being a first rounder. My next guy I want to talk about real quick, Troy Franklin from Oregon. He should be a guy that's going to hang around the 4.3s. He's a guy that if the Chiefs are interested in him, if he goes, you know, back into the first, I like him quite a bit as a prospect. I see a lot of separation in his game. He's a speed demon, man. Deep threat for sure. I want to see more of him. I think he would fit well in the Marquez role that we used. For this kind of offense we're using right now. I think there's some issues with him as far as contested catches and stuff like that, but hey, right now we're worried about the athletes. We're worried about guys running fast, and that's all I care about. So Let's watch for Troy Franklin and see what kind of draft stock he can do to raise up a little bit. And then, Tanner, you talked about Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama. He should also run in the 4.3s as well. That's going to be a first-round corner just based on athletic ability alone. And he went to Alabama. I mean, all those damn dudes, it seems like, ends up going early. So those are my main three that I wanted to speak on real quick. I know right now they're going through interview processes at the Combine. They're doing all the body fat percentage tests and things like that and getting poked and prodded and asking them if they'd rather be a dog or a cat or a sheep or a lion, all that kind of good stuff, you know. So I mean, it makes me wonder, man. I feel like that should be something you do in a normal interview, like normal jobs. I think your boss is, you know, they should ask people that, you know, like, you know, before you get hired, you should be asked, like,
do you identify as cat?
Yeah. What do you identify as? Would you rather identify as a cat or an alligator?
Well, they don't.
Ooh, I like that.
They don't.
I like that.
Well, they shouldn't be asking you that because it should be on your resume.
What? Your pronouns?
Yeah. Legit. And that's why bosses toss it in the trash.
I don't like that. No, I don't like that at all in the professional world. But
that's what they do.
No, I know they do, but in professional sports specifically, I think they should do that. Nowhere else, I want to see it.
Yeah,
but you we have the cheetah, right? If Tyreek Hill identifies as a cheetah, like these people should be identifying as animals.
That reminds me, and Sammy Watkins was a lizard man. So
I love it. I love it for pro sports, not so much in just, you know, sitting
down. Or maybe just ask him what's your nickname?
Think that should be a question that you ask all these players in the combine. You go,
what animal?
What do you identify as?
What animal?
Don't say what gender, because that's wrong to ask that. I think you should say, what do you identify as to the players at the combine? And I'm curious what kind of answer.
Well, we used to have Doug Martin, the muscle hamster.
Hamster.
So he could say, I identify as hamster because I'm fast.
We also had Mighty Mouse.
Mighty Mouse.
And Spider-Man Andre Rison.
It makes so much sense in pro sports. It doesn't make sense anywhere else unless you have, like, mental issues or something like that. But, you know, it is what it is, boys.
Well, it is 2024. That's what we kind of read.
My point is, if you're sitting at your desk in an office job, probably shouldn't identify as an animal. But if you're in pro sports, you probably should identify as an animal and one that runs really, really fast, like a hippopotamus.
Or about really
strong.
Can run
40 to 45 miles an hour.
Yeah, I like that, man. Or an owl. Like if you're an office guy, you want to identify as an owl. You know, you're being keen to paying attention, smart, you know, you're
I'd
aware.
Say sloth.
Right.
Tanner wants to be a sloth. what movie was that from? That was a cartoon movie.
The zoo?
Yeah, there was like a zoo.
Zoo?
Movie. Yeah, I can't remember.
The rabbit and everything?
You got a daughter, you know.
I've only watched it once.
All right, man. We got just a few more minutes, so.
I was going to ask you, what about Washington's? Are you excited to see, was it Rome?
Oh,
the receiver for Washington.
So, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that as well. A lot of people compare him to like Julio Jones, and I don't see that at all because Julio
was a
freak athlete, and Rome Adunze is not the same type of thing.
I didn't see it over the playoff course. I didn't see it late.
Athletically, it's not the same. The size is there. That's all it is, Tanner. The size,
just size
is similar. It's like 6'3", 215, right?
Yeah.
Looks great on paper. I like Rome as a player. He's not Julio Jones. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Heck to the no. Heck to the no.
I'm just
going to
tell you that right now, man. But I'm looking forward to still seeing all the numbers being put out there. You can put a name to the number to the paper now when the combine hits.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Only guys you're going to not be able to see things on is, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., of course, isn't doing anything.
Jane Daniels isn't throwing.
Jane Daniels isn't throwing, which is lame as hell.
If
I'm looking for a quarterback, I want a guy that's going to throw and perform in the combine.
Yeah.
Like, what are you afraid of?
I want a guy that's going to sit there and throw in the combine and senior day.
See, I can understand not playing in the bowl game.
Yeah.
I understand that at that point in your career, but I cannot understand not playing or just going out there and running some
you're
drills.
You're supposed to show me.
Running some drills at the combine. At that point, that tells me you're scared. You know what I mean?
You don't trust.
Patrick Mahomes did all the damn drills, didn't he? Yes, he did.
The thing with that, too, for me is it's – you don't have faith with the other coaches that are around you. That's not in your system.
Lame.
You only got to throw in your system.
Yeah, lame.
And it doesn't make sense to me.
So, I don't know.
Can't throw with the other receivers. Can't throw with anybody else. Have to throw with your people. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah. Not my kinds of guys, if the guys that choose to do that. Other than Marvin Harrison, whatever.
I mean.
He's fine. He's going to be fine.
He's going to be one,
he's,
two.
He's going to be fine.
Easily. Did you hear, I can't remember who it was. It was some one of the NFL.com reporters. They said they walked by Caleb Williams, and he's not much taller than Bryce Young. And but he looks bulk, like,
I think he's like six
stronger,
tall.
But he's also not the QB height, is what they said. Oh, the QB height.
Well, not that worried about that, man. At this point in their careers, Bryce Young's 5'10".
I love combine stuff, dude.
I don't know.
It just cracks me up. We're talking about like, oh, that guy can't throw it, but that guy's 6'8", Malik Willis, and he can chuck it down the whole field.
Brock Asweiler was 6'8", so you can go get him then.
Ass wiper.
Malik Willis, who had the All Star Combine, and how's his job coming along next year?
Yeah, I don't know.
You guys ready to talk about Antonio Pierce?
Yeah, we got a few minutes, man. What do you want to say?
Back in the day when I was growing up, we used to have the Jordan rules, okay? So when Michael Jordan was the greatest player of all time, you know, which is basically from basically the moment that he set foot in the league until right now, you had your Jordan stoppers, right? You had the Jordan rules. They wrote a book on that. And then after Jordan retired, then when Kobe Bryant came in the league, you had your Kobe stoppers. Right, and all these guys did. All it did was piss them off, and it made them better. So you bring in your Jordan stoppers and your Kobe stoppers; those guys, they get better and they destroy you. Now, we never had a LeBron stopper because he was too good at stopping himself. But that's neither here nor there. Now, all of a sudden, let's talk about Antonio Pierce, coach of the Raiders. He all of a sudden has the Mahomes rules. Okay, just like they had the Jordan rules back in the day. And I want to know you guys' thoughts on this because my thought is like, okay, yeah, they beat the Chiefs once. And, you know, what is there any kind of motivation from that? Like, what is the point of Antonio Pierce coming out with the Mahomes rules? Is the point to actually win games or is the point to try to piss off Mahomes? Is he really trying to piss him off to make him play better against the Raiders? Because I'm just dumbfounded by this. I mean, you've seen this happen over and over again throughout history. Have we not learned our lesson with these Jordan stoppers, Kobe stoppers? Now all of a sudden we got the Mahomes stoppers coming out there. Did we not learn our lesson against these alpha males? Or are we just going to keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again, pissing these players off so that they play better? You're actually helping them, in my opinion. So anyway,
Raiders did beat the Chiefs doing that. So.
Oh yeah, and I'm sure they felt really good about themselves.
Your question though was what was the point in even bringing that? You know, he wants to bring back the Jordan rules against Mahomes, and all it is he's trying to create a make believe mindset in the Raiders organization, a mentality and a mindset of how we want to play against Mahomes. And how we want to be as a team and a defense in particular.
I think it's generally just as a team throughout the season. Like, we're not sitting here, like, it may be not just Mahomes, but we're also going to hit this guy and this guy and this guy.
Right, exactly. That's the whole point I think he's trying to come with, is trying to create an aggressive mentality. Kind of, you know, the Raiders back in the 70s and 80s were dirty as hell, and we all know about that shit. And so I think he's wanting to try to make that happen again, but that's been tried probably a few hundred times at this point for the Raiders organization. And they have been the bottom of the barrel for the last 24 years or 22 years. So I think that's all it is. I think it's basically grasping at straws to try to get this team into a certain mentality going forward, aggressive mentality. And what you're going to end up doing, I mean, you might want to go into game. Everyone goes into games against Mahomes. You want to get them on the ground, right? Yeah. Everyone should be wanting to go out there and beat the hell out of them. You know, to where he can see out there, he can't hardly walk, right? That should be half the point as a defense.
Injure his ass.
But
injure his ass. If, no, that's the only way you can stop
if you could do that, they would have already been done by now. If it was that easy to just say, oh, we're just going to go hit Mahomes, you know, 12 times this game.
to be
it's
fair,
not that easy.
That's going to work when he gets into his, you know, mid to late 30s. Like, you will be able to injure him, and then you can stop him that way.
We've seen Aaron Rodgers go through a lot of that kind of stuff, and he's played most of his games, but, you know, we've seen him get beat up. We saw Brett Favre get beat up, obviously. Now, that was a different situation with the whole bounty gate. But, you know, maybe this is a partial bounty gate. You know, it's not necessarily an actual bounty, because I don't think Antonio Pierce wants to get fired or anything.
No, I don't think he
does. I think the idea behind it is to go out there and lay some licks on Mahomes. But if it was that easy, you would have done it anyway. You don't need to talk about it. You just do it.
Yeah, no, and it's just what, I mean, I like the mentality part of it. I like the message being sent.
I don't like it openly being sent that way.
No, I hate it.
It's also too early.
I hate it.
Tanner, it's also February.
No, I know it's too early.
It's February.
He could have said that later on.
I would here's the thing. The training camp would come along. I would talk about that mentality in training camp.
It's the same attitude that you're seeing in Detroit when MCDC got hired on, kneecap biting, you know, breaking the kneecaps, going after, like, you're here to cause trouble. It's the same aspect here. Look what the Lions are. Maybe that's if he can get the same kind of motivation from his players, Pierce, now that he's officially the head coach. We saw it last year. The Raiders changed after McDaniels ended up leaving. And now Pierce coming into play, who has already a strong, you know, I guess, relationship with a lot of players already there and that are free agents. This could be something for the Raiders. I'm okay with it. I liked his comments. I liked the tough saying. I liked what he's doing. Now, can he officially back it up for his first full year in head coach? Can he get the players on board like MCDC has?
Yeah, they also like to say just win, baby, and they don't do a whole lot of that. So words are one thing and all that, but actions are really what matters in the end. So.
Is it because we're Chiefs fans and that's Raiders talking?
No, it's because, well, we've seen this for long enough at this point. That organization, dude, they went to the Super Bowl in, what, 2002. But
against their former
since
coach.
since I've been a teenager, and up to this point in my life,
yes,
the Raiders have been bottom of the barrel, the worst team in the NFL on a year-to-year basis, like average to below average or worse every single season.
They haven't had a coach like this since Gruden? The first time?
I don't know I can compare Antonio Pierce to John Gruden.
Just attitude-wise.
Guy that won a Super Bowl.
Attitude-wise. That's what I'm saying.
Attitude-wise?
I'm just saying attitude-wise. Who brings in the more momentum?
They've gone through quite a few, man. There was a, what was it, Tom, what's all offensive lineman coach.
Callahan?
You know what I'm talking about. Can't remember his
name
right now.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
They've gone through a lot of coaches over time, and I guarantee they weren't all a bunch of softies. I guarantee there was a few in there that also wouldn't have an aggressive mindset. It's talking about it's one thing. It's about doing it. And
I don't know. MCDC talked and did it. So we got to give this guy time.
I would keep that shit in-house, man.
I would not.
I don't need to go have interviews all of a sudden on a podcast with Max Crosby next to me and say, oh, yeah, we're just going to start the Mahomes rules
now. So what
what's the point of that?
I'm confused. What do you want me to do? Just sit there like,
no.
Yeah, we're here to play. Yeah, we're just
going to
play.
I'm going to make sure that our guys in-house understand the job.
Yeah, I know. Understand the mentality we need to have. But what are you speaking to the media?
You're wasting time.
You're just walking in, you're just like, yep, nope, we're going to play.
Well, I'm not talking about...
You're going to be boring?
I'm not specifically talking about Patrick Mahomes.
You're going to lose all the potential players looking to sign with the Raiders by not speaking that kind of impact on the interviews.
So I agree.
It's phony.
I agree with Mike.
It doesn't matter if it's phony. It's a message being sent to the players.
It's a shitty message.
I agree with Mike here. You have to keep it in-house. And just for comparison, I looked it up. The Jordan Rules was published in 1992, before, and at the time, Jordan had only won one championship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, so then they pissed him off. What happened after that? He got five more freaking rings. Mahomes already has three.
Yeah.
Now you're going to come out with the Mahomes rules and piss him off?
But it's not.
Like,
it's not just Pierce
doing it. You're helping him,
dude. It's not Pierce.
All
doing
you're
it.
Doing
it. It's everybody doing it in the league.
Mark my words. All you're doing is you're helping
everybody.
You're
in the
helping
doing
Mahomes.
This. Everybody.
Anytime
in the
you piss off Mahomes, you're helping
everybody.
Him.
In the
you're doing
this.
A favor, dude.
Could you imagine Andy Reid doing
it in the house?
Shit? Do you imagine Andy Reid going
out
there?
No, he's not that kind of coach.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean you're not going to get one set coach of not doing it.
No, you think Andy Reid would go out?
Andy Reid knows how to do.
Andy Reid has a history.
He knows how to be a leader.
Andy Reid has a history. He has the past that can help him reward and get the Andy players
Reed,
that he wants.
Andy Reid, even when he was Pierce's age, would have never said that kind of crap.
No, because that's not Andy Reid.
So what about
two different guys?
What about Antonio Pierce? Antonio Pierce is a leader.
Dude.
Antonio Pierce, which is he was a player still.
Nah, dude. All it is. AP is sending the right message out to the players to get these.
It's a joke.
It's a new era, dude. It's a new era.
If I was a DM, I would say phony ass. Going out there talking about Mahomes rules.
That would be, dude, that's no different. That's no different than if before last year's Super Bowl, if Andy would have came out and said, oh, we have the Jalen Hurts rules. We're going to destroy him in this game. That we would have lost. We probably lost because we would have motivated that guy to play better. We probably would have lost. But Andy Reid is not stupid enough, and all these coaches – They need to give respect.
He's too old to do it, dude.
You need to give respect to these other players.
Could you imagine Nick Saban coming out saying we're going to break some
You don't want to poke the bear. The worst thing that you can
Are
do
you
is poke
me?
The bear. Why would you want to poke the bear that's already got three rings and now you're going to piss
Everybody's
him off
Everybody's doing it,
It doesn't
dude.
Make any sense.
Everybody's doing it.
It's Tanner, dumb. That's why
it's
you
stupid.
Keep it
it's
in
ignorant.
House. You keep ignorant. You keep the mentality in
I don't,
house.
But you don't get players that way. You don't get players that
get
way.
Get players? You're the Raiders, Tanner.
You don't get players.
People don't want to go to your team anyway.
Well, what are you trying to do then?
Get drunk at the encore.
What are you trying to do? Like, how else do you send out a message?
You think that's the only way to get recruits, free agents?
Talk your game.
That's the way you do it?
That's one of the ways
Talk
to
about
do it.
Mahomes and how you just need to beat him up. That's the only way to get to him and win?
Talk about your, yeah, I don't know, not necessarily Mahomes, just the game plan. The chemistry. I ain't worried about Mahomes because every team's doing the same damn thing.
How about during interviews, you can tell them then, you know, in private.
Oh, my God.
In person interviews. You don't need to openly go on a show and talk about it.
I don't
that
know, crap. Dude. I don't feel like it's anything bad he's doing.
The bottom line is, like, the Raiders don't have a quarterback. Their team
sucks. No, they
suck.
They suck right now.
They suck, and I think that AP is just trying to make a name for himself. And I don't have a problem with it from that perspective. But you're not going to have any longevity in this league as a coach if you.
So where's MCDC at?
If you just crash and burn.
Where's
in the
MCDC
AFC West.
At? MCDC did the same thing 3 years ago. He went to a.
I'm not watching Beavis and Butthead. I don't care about AC/DC. Just shut the hell up. I don't
even
care.
Know who MCDC is. Let's get out of here.
I don't want to talk about AC/DC. Like
Zootopia, the sequel. Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
I watched plenty of Beavis and Butthead in the 90s. I don't want to watch that show.
Sounds
anymore.
Like
the
every Raider fan to speak.
Thank
its
you, Tanner.
New era.
I just let out my first F bomb. I was trying to cure myself of that problem.
All right, you ruined it, man.
You freaking ruined it, man. I just accidentally dropped my first F-bomb. Thank you, Tanner.
Antonio Pierce is going to drop a promo on your ass. What you going to do? Well, meet me at the paper.
Tanner, why don't you pull your head out, man?
Is MCDC be behind them?
God, Tanner, read the comments, and we got to get out of here.
Jiminy Christmas. Just get on the right side of an argument for once.
Dave said he is going to – he's going to cost his team more. Stop, Baney. Jesus. God. Freaking child. He's going to cost his team games, motivating players, trying 15 yards all game long. Commitment. No, it's not going to do that, Dave. Dave says, sounds like a very every Raider fan to speak. It's a new era. Dude, it's like Cowboys all over again. It's our year. Sarcy says Zootopia. That was the movie they were talking about.
Okay.
Dave says, very WWE-ish, looks scripted. Yeah, I want Antonio Pierce. And then in the background, the light comes up, and it's freaking MCDC in the back behind him. And then Starsky Barrier says, don't sleep on the new Beavis and Butthead. I didn't even know there was a new Beavis and Butthead out.
I'll have to look that up. I don't know anything about it yet.
You know the new Beavis and Butthead?
There's a new one.
I did not know it, man.
But
Starsky's we'll all about,
try
man.
Try to find it, I guess. So sounds good to me. All right, you guys. Well, that's
I
all
that.
I got.
I can do the voice.
For you
I can do
for
the voice.
Today.
Do it. Let me do the voice.
Do it.
It says the doggy coin is up 25% in the last 24 hours. I can't do it right now. I think I need to practice again. It's been a while.
All right, let's get the hell out of here.
You would be Beavis, and I would be, or Tanner would be Butthead.
I do the best Butthead.
But you look like Beavis.
I know. No, I look like Beavis, but I can't
tell
do the
damn
voice.
Difference, dude.
I do the best Butthead voice.
All right, we got to get the hell out of here. All right, guys, let's look forward to Combine Week, and then NBA, of course, you know, still rolling on. Hopefully something exciting happens for once. So we have something to talk about. But otherwise, man, I'm looking forward to seeing what the week presents to us. And he said,
combine.
So much for joining us, and I'll see you on the next one.
Yeah, look, a gummy worm. I'm hungry.